is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Boy, what a gorgeous day in the city of Chicago. Just everything changes, the mood, the vibe in this city, the weather gets warm. The city was actually buzzing a little bit today. People were out. People were walking. I took a walk on the Riverwalk today.
Did you?
Saw my good friend Kevin Bame from the Boca Restaurant Group.
He's like one guy that has as good a hair as Bleck.
Oh, he'd be in the hair derby.
Yeah, he's in the hair derby.
It'd be a Pace Bleck.
You could be in the derby now.
No, yeah. I'm like minor league. Pat Boyle.
Got good hair.
Yeah, and Pace. Did I say Pace? Pace, Bleck, Boyle, and Bame. Would be in the hair derby.
That's a good foursome. I'd like to see those guys go play a round of golf.
Maybe have a hair off?
Yeah.
Yeah, have a hair off.
By the way, shout out to everyone in the Twitch group today, stopping by, checking in. Wherever you may be listening, Twitch is a new way you can watch the show, can listen, react, chat with your fellow Bears fans.
You can see that we're wearing the ESPN 1000 summer uniform.
It's the attire, yeah.
Yeah, look at this.
We both have a gray, gray golf shirt,
yes,
and blue, dark blue shorts.
Both of us have Allbirds shoes on.
Right.
No socks, obviously. You don't wear socks with Allbirds.
Right. Love it. Feels good. Changes the mood.
Yeah.
I feel great today. It's all brought to you by Twitch. Twitch is all brought to you by...
It's all brought to you by Twitch.
Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. Nobody makes lemonade like Mike's. Can we go on a run this week and with the weather nice? I'd like to have a Mike's Hard Lemonade during a show. Can I do that? Are we allowed to do that?
It's up to you. You're big boy.
Let's bring in Jeff Dickerson. Hung out with JD last week. It's good to just catch up with friends because of everything that's gone on that we haven't seen in so long. That connection.
It was great.
We need it. We crave it.
I dunked on Parker several times.
Yes. JD, it was great to see you last week. It's great to talk to you today. How's everything?
It's great, boys. And only one bottle and one pour of The Prisoner was consumed.
Yeah.
So, I mean... That was a little low. It was a weekday.
Yes.
Right.
So next time you guys come over, we'll have to obviously have a little more of the grape than just one bottle and one glass of wine.
We were being responsible as well because we were all driving. So next time we'll all come in an Uber.
Yes.
You had mini basketball to play.
Yes.
By the way, the backboard has since broken since you guys were here.
It was cracked when we were there.
He cracked it with a tomahawk left-handed dunk.
Woo!
Where he missed the dunk and he hit the rim, and then he went back later that night after you guys had left and the thing broke. So we're down a mini basketball hoop here. However, we are up a pre-draft press conference from Ryan Pace getting ready for Thursday night. And Sylvie, on your point quickly here, they would have to be crazy to put some sort of governor or restriction plate on Ryan Pace to go out and find the next quarterback of the future. If he can't do that, if you're not going to authorize him to move those assets, to try his best to get in the mix for a top five quarterback in this year's draft class, then what is the point of him being the general manager?
Freaking man.
What was the point of John Fox being the head coach if he wasn't allowed to be in? Why keep it a secret? You know what I mean? Like, it's always ass backwards.
Let me give you some insight into that, all right? Obviously, Ryan Pace and John Fox had a big philosophical difference about how an offense is supposed to be run. John Fox wanted a very conservative, a tight, run the football. Remember, this is a guy that would always brag, John Fox, about how he won that playoff game with Tim Tebow throwing like 10 pass attempts, right? You guys remember that.
Right, of course.
Probably was saying that at Waddle's Super Bowl party a couple of years ago, if anyone was listening to him. So, I mean,
he's the best, though, to listen to.
Yeah.
He's a great party guy, JD.
Yeah, I missed Party Foxy. I got Work Foxy, which was not a lot of fun to be around or be with. However, that being said, there was a big philosophical difference there. So I'm not saying that the approach was all the way right. But, I mean, it was just they weren't seeing eye to eye on their vision for the offense. Now, Nagy and Pace certainly are seeing eye to eye. Pace finds it much easier to defer a lot more to his head coach, who has an offensive background, to the offensive coordinator who played the quarterback position, to John DeFilippo, a former quarterback himself. They have tried to, you know, Tom Herman's an advisor now on the staff. They have tried to put together this groupthink of guys that are offensive-minded, former quarterbacks. Nagy was a former quarterback, to try to get this right. So, I mean, they are working hand-in-hand here. So the quarterback they take, if they take a quarterback in the next couple of days, I guarantee you that there will have been a pretty strong, you know, consensus amongst that group.
It's a great point,
that
this
JD. Is a guy.
It is the singular point that I would think would be the evidence for allowing these guys to do whatever they decide to do to draft that quarterback. You've put all these guys into those positions. They're all guys that have had quarterback backgrounds. You may trust them. You may not trust them if you're outside the building. They trust them. You got to let them do their job.
I'm sure they will try to do everything possible to move up and get one of those top five prospects. I'm sure they will try. It's what they do. Ryan Pace has always been very aggressive, for better or for worse, and sometimes it's been for better. He's moved up in the later rounds and gotten some pretty darn good players. The big one that everyone knows about and talks about, and unfortunately is what's holding this franchise back right now, was moving up to get Trubisky. That being said, they will make an attempt. Now, also remember this. Look, if they get together, guys, and they say, we don't like Kellen Mond, or we don't like Kyle Trask, or Davis Mills, or Jamie Newman, you don't draft someone just to draft someone. So, I mean, it's hard to say how they feel about these players, because maybe they don't know all the way yet how they feel about these players. Ryan Pace talked about that this morning again on the Zoom call. It has been very difficult, guys, for this pre-draft process to not have had the combine, to not get those personal visits, to just have the pro days, the Senior Bowl. It has been hard to get the type of feel for the players that you normally have in other years. So, I mean, I think they will draft a quarterback. But I would not pass out and fall over.
Oh,
if
I would.
They don't, because maybe these second-tier guys in their mind are just no good.
Well, right, and neither was Dak Prescott the year they had three fourth-round picks and they passed them.
Listen, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Like, JD, like, how could they rationalize? I understand, again, that's another common-sense point of view. Don't just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. But how could you this year come away without a developmental quarterback?
It would be much tougher, because we all know the fan base is a bit testy, if you will. Okay, people are unhappy. No one is very. No one's rushing out to buy their Dalton jerseys. Not most people. Okay, they know this. I mean, this is a business. They've got to sell something to the public, and right now there's not a whole lot to sell to the public. It's a pretty dark time for them. So, but again, like if. If you can't get, if after the top five, there's such a steep fall off. Here's what they don't want, Sylvie. Do you remember Phil, when Phil Emery got up there and was talking about David Fales? And he was like, you know, I can't really see him ever being a starter, but we think he can be a good long-term backup quarterback. Well, I mean, if you don't think a guy has a future to start,
don't draft him.
Don't
right.
draft him. You can always sign some veterans. And they've got Nick Foles. I mean, they have a backup quarterback. If you believe this guy has special traits that one day you can harness into being your starting quarterback, then I don't care if it's a second-round pick or a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick. You make the deal. You get it done. All I'm saying is, and again, listen, everyone has different opinions on the internet. All of our great draft experts have different opinions. There seems to be a pretty steep drop off, would you guys say, after the top five to that next tier? I mean, now look, quarterbacks get pushed up. Maybe there's a run. I could see it happening. But as far as, like, you know, what they showed in college, what they showed on the field, the physical traits, it seems like there's a little bit of a gap there. So you got to be careful not to take a guy up too high.
So what do you believe will transpire? I, like you, believe, like you said, I believe they'll try to move up as far as they can to get one of the top five.
Right.
I don't believe they'll be able to accomplish that goal. So what do you think ultimately will happen with this team at 20?
So here's what I think. If they stay at 20, right, I think there are three positions you look at strongly. You look at offensive tackle, you look at cornerback, and you look at wide receivers, right?
Yep.
So Jeff Legwald, Leggy, who covers the Broncos for us, also does his top 100 every year. And he gives you the breakdowns. Like, he's got 15 corners, 15 receivers, and 12 offensive tackles in his top 100. I talked to Field Yates last week. He also does a top 100 list. He's got 16 corners, 17 wide receivers, and 11 offensive tackles. So I think those are three positions you can look at strongly. I would believe the biggest area of need is at tackle, is at right tackle. Tackles are harder to find. You know, I think Christian Darrisaw will be off the board by 20. Certainly Slater from Northwestern's off the board. Then you have this Elijah Vera Tucker, who's an offensive tackle guard. Most people think he's a guard. I would be a little leery about drafting someone, again, who doesn't have maybe a more defined position. We've seen the Bears take guys because of positional flexibility, and it doesn't sometimes work out so well. Tevin Jenkins is someone I like a lot from Oklahoma State. I watched him play before we shut it down during the season. Look, he's got a mean streak. And the Bears' offensive line, I think, could use a little nasty, don't you?
Yeah.
I think they could use a guy that if Dalton gets knocked over late, cheap shot like he did in Dallas, would come over and kick that guy's rear end. I mean, I'm not saying the Bears don't have meanness on their offensive line. I don't think they have anyone that you would say plays with a real mean streak. And Tevin Jenkins does that. At corner, now I've seen Caleb Farley linked to the Bears. Guys, he just had back surgery again. That's two back procedures.
Is he the cornerback from Virginia Tech?
Two back procedures.
Yeah.
He also had an ACL. You know, look, very talented guy, don't get me wrong. Opted out because of COVID this year for reasons that are very understandable. Had some personal stuff at home with his mom and everything, you know, with health and everything. So I get that. But in a year when medical information is so scarce, can you really take a guy at 20 that's coming off a back surgery who says he'll be good to go for training camp, but you never know, right? Mm. I think that's risky. Greg Newsom is a stud athlete at Northwestern. However, you know, he's missed like 14 games in 3 years. There's some durability issues there, too. You look at wide receiver, the two guys projected to come off the board somewhere in that range the Bears are picking are Elijah Moore from Ole Miss and Kadarius Toney from Florida. Both are slot receivers. Okay. Now, Elijah Moore is small. He's 5'9", catches everything, but he's a slot. He'll never play outside in the NFL, I don't believe. Kadarius Toney is bigger. He is 6 foot. He was on an offense with incredible weapons all around him. So, you know, I think if you're the Bears at wide receiver, I'm not as concerned about filling the slot role this year as I am about finding my replacement for Allen Robinson after this season, if he chooses to leave. We talked to Allen today. Didn't want to talk about the franchise tag or anything. But, I mean, look, you have to make real preparations, guys. You need like a little bit of a bigger outside receiver in 2022 because Robinson's going to be gone. Darnell Mooney can play outside. He proved that last year. And it's a deep draft at wide receivers. You might be better off waiting there. I think you're better off waiting a corner. So I would go offensive tackle.
Me
if it
too.
Were me
yeah.
and the right guy was there, I think that's a great spot to have a day one starter, no question, plug him in. And don't forget this too quickly. I'm sorry if I'm long-winded here, but, you know, Charles Leno's contract is up after this year. So you're looking at two tackles you might have to overhaul the entire position going into 2022. Why not start now at number 20?
It makes all the sense in the world. That's what I'm predicting them to do. Stay at 20, draft a tackle. Really quick, JD, as JD joins us in the Corona Hotline, I wanted to ask Waddle this too. You both can weigh in. Who do you guys believe that if the Bears are able to get up, which quarterback do you think it would be? Does Mac Jones fall because maybe San Francisco surprises everyone and takes Lance? Or is it Lance or Fields? Which of the three do you think they're most likely to go up for?
Go ahead, JD.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they could get up high enough to get Mac Jones. I don't believe so. I believe San Francisco is going to take him at 3. You know you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. You know you're not going to get Zach Wilson. I mean, I don't think you're getting any of those guys. I think it would be Fields or Lance. Now, personally, I would feel a little better about Fields because of where he played, you know, the level of competition, playing great football last year. You know, Nagy was at that pro day. You guys saw that picture. He was there. He's not going for frequent flyer miles. I know in the past there were all the misdirection, the smoke and mirrors. Look, there's so limited access to these players. You can't be screwing around this year with the pro days, just sending a guy there to send a guy there. Come on. You got to be getting some real intel.
I wonder also, JD, if they would take the more sure thing from their perspective in Fields because of the experience with Mitch.
I would too. I mean, look, with Lance, you know, he had the great year 2 years ago, the great year. This past year, what, played one game, I think it was?
Yes.
And didn't really play that great. And I'm not saying he doesn't have ability. I'm just saying, to me, he would seem like a little bit longer of a project. Now, they're not going to, whoever they draft, unless the guy lights it up, Dalton's going to start for a while. What they're going to try to do is implement the plan they tried to do for Trubisky in 2017 until Mike Glennon brought the building down. He was so bad. Like, they would like the quarterback to sit all year behind Dalton. Even if you were to get, see, that way, at least you could get a quarterback. Your fan base feels good. Like, okay, we got something for the future. We're going to develop him. We know he was a stud in college. Okay. You could get away with having Dalton play this year. But it's going to be a little dicey there if you only have Dalton Foles as your quarterbacks coming out of the draft. But I think it would be those ladders too, Sylvie, that they would have the best chance to come up and get.
All right. JD, good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Friday after they make the first round selection. Thank you.
Thanks, good, JD, guys. Talk to you then.
All right.
You
got it. I've got more news, actually. It doesn't sound like a scheduled day off for Chris Bryant. I've got more news from Jesse. And I will also tell you about the White Sox making a move. Plus, your Bears calls if you want to weigh in, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Sox baseball back on the station tonight. Sox have that four-game win streak going.
They play every other day. I mean,
they have had a bunch of days off, yeah. And they've had some of the weather days in there, too.
Which is frustrating for me because I want to see baseball every day, especially since the team got a little hot.
It is a little frustrating because Luis Robert is really starting to hit. And he's been really good and had a better eye at the plate.
Yes, you're seeing him mature, like, right in front of you.
He could be back soon, but I guess Rick Hahn said that Robert called the team yesterday with flu-like symptoms. So right now they're putting him on the IL until all the tests come back.
Right.
So that's the situation.
And you can still get the flu. I mean, just so people know, you can still get the flu.
You can get a lot of things, right. Yeah. Allergies are still going on. You get colds, you have flu, strep throat, all that. You can get other stuff, too. And then the Chris Bryant thing, because Jesse had originally heard that this was a scheduled day off. That's not the case. I guess Bryant's biceps has been barking a bit. And I guess it's for his throwing arm, right?
That flexing on the haters is what he's been doing.
Yeah, now, that's a good point.
And now, you know,
yeah,
when you flex too much, yeah.
So I guess he is available to hit tonight, but he is on the bench to start the day.
He's available to the highest bidder prior to the trade deadline.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And then, like, later I want to talk about the Contreras situation, because it's time to blank or get off the pot with him. Because I don't want them next year, when Contreras is on his last year, to be in the same situation they are with Bryant and Rizzo and Baez, where they're not worth as much on the open market. I either want them to look at Contreras, and I love Willie, and say, boy, he's raking, he keeps hitting home runs, he's really good behind the plate. We need to make him a part of our team and the core, and whatever we're doing here, he's going to be a part of it, or sell him while he still has some value. You know what I'm saying?
I would think he would have value. I mean,
Yeah, he would have a lot of value this year. That's what I'm saying. So in my opinion, I'm not telling you to trade him. I'm saying decide, though, now.
If he's going to be part of your
If
future.
He's a part of your core. And if not, don't wait till next year to trade him, especially if you can get more for him this year.
I love the projections. He's projected to hit 52 home runs and drive in 110.
He's having a good year.
Yeah.
What are his numbers as of now, though? I know those are the what's like the on base, the OPS.
Willie's numbers right now through 21 games: 7 home runs, 15 driven in. He's batting 239, but he's on base 34 345 is on base. His OPS is 895. So
yeah, the OPS of 895 is fantastic. Yeah. And then the on base isn't bad. All the numbers you'd like to go up, but what did you say? 239 these days for the Cubs?
Yes.
That's red hot.
Do you know how many times he was hit last year in a 58 game season? You think he's been hit a lot now, and he has.
Like 5 times or 12, was it?
14 times in 58 games.
And then he got hit, what, 4 this year, did you say? Is that
yes. I mean, he's always been hit. He was hit 9 times in 2019 and 13 times in 2018.
How about on Sunday, one of the Brewers players got hit in the head?
Yeah.
You know, that was a scary moment. All right, we told you about this every day this week, and we're under a week till tickets go on sale. Tickets will go on sale for the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic Golf Outing to benefit Alive Rescue of Chicago. First time we're partnering with this great charity, Alive Rescue of Chicago. It will be Monday, May 3rd, when tickets go on sale for our inaugural golf outing. We're reformatting it. We're reshaping it. It's presented by Coors Pure. And save the date in your calendar. It's Monday, June 7th at Seven Bridges. So the weather's going to be awesome. You know, more people, good company, more people are going to be vaccinated. Like, I went out to lunch today with a friend I haven't seen in over a year. We just saw JD last week, who we haven't seen in a long, long time. It's just great to be out doing normal stuff again. So let's get it going at the golf outing at Seven Bridges Golf Club, Monday, June 7th. Again, those tickets go on sale Monday morning, 9 a.m. The way to purchase your tickets is gripitandsipitclassic.com. That website, again, you can go there now. You just can't buy tickets if you forget any of the information I'm giving you. It's available at gripitandsipitclassic.com.
And as you said, a wonderful cause, the mission for Alive Rescue. Alive Rescue is an animal rescue that protects the lives and the welfare of animals. They believe every animal has the right to a well-balanced, socialized, and fulfilled life. So a wonderful cause there as well.
Well, you know how important that is.
Oh, yes.
Especially with, you know, COVID, so many people
have become dog owners.
Dog owners, and I hope they continue to be good dog owners.
Right.
And then if not, what do these people do? They make sure that they are...
They find a home for them.
Finding a home for these great pets. Cost of the golf outing is $300 for a twosome and $600 for a foursome.
It's a bargain.
Now, break that down for us, Waddle.
Well, it's $150 per golfer, okay? So you're going to get your round of golf. You're going to get your cart. Probably going to get, you know, some practice time on the practice range. You're going to get an opportunity to spend time with you, which is priceless.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get lunch. You're going to get dinner. You're going to get a swag bag. You're going to get all kinds of stuff. Stuff that will, I believe, carry a value far in excess of the $150 per person that is being asked.
Hole number 7, we're going to have a chugging contest with Waddle where you'll be able to
do it.
Coors Pure, you're going to be able to chug with Waddle. Whoever wins, you win a prize. I don't know if that's a real contest.
Not sure if that's legal, but if it is, we'll do it.
They say so we're going to have contests on the course. Like, I know they always do closest to the pin. What are, like, some, do they have any, like, cool new contests in a golf outing?
I do believe there are a couple of ponds. Maybe we can have a swim relay.
Longest drive.
Pond.
Longest drive.
Longest putt made.
I've even seen
closest,
like,
to the pin.
In the middle of a fairway.
Yeah.
Have you seen those before?
Yes. Yeah. Whoever's the most accurate centered drive.
Yeah.
All right. So there's going to be contests, prizes for the winners, raffle prizes. We're going to have that silent and live auction as well. It's also brought to you by our Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, Alta Equipment, Hawthorne Racecourse, and PointsBet Sportsbook and American Sale. Again, it's presented by Coors Pure. Tickets on sale on Monday. The golf outing is scheduled for Monday, June 7th at Seven Bridges.
Amen. It's great.
I've talked to Mike Thomas, our market manager, and we have talked about the possibility of maybe bidding on me to be like a caddy for you for like 3 holes, since I am not I don't golf, though I am thinking about getting back into the game.
Should be a golfer.
I know. I am thinking about, yes, being a grown-up again and just saying, look.
That's a big step.
Find some clubs. Yeah. Find some time. Yeah. Take a couple of lessons and just go out and enjoy the weather and enjoy friends and enjoy a little sport.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I'm open to it now. Like 5 years ago, I told you never again. No, I'd rather spend time at the pool. I'm up for it these days.
You should be. Because you know what? Who knows? Maybe both of your sons will love the game of golf as they get older. And what if they want to go to the course and play, but dad's a crotchety old jackass and won't play because his ego's too big because he doesn't like to shoot high scores?
There you go. Bonding, right?
Yes. Right. That's what you should do.
All right, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We've got Waddle's World coming up. At 4 o'clock, we're going to have Len Casper, and we're going to talk about not only the White Sox, but all these crazy baseball rules that were thrown around. No hitters. And then
baseball's got some issues right now that need to be addressed.
Yeah, and Len's always a forward-thinking guy, so we look forward to that. Waddle's World is coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Why not? Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's bank. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Were you as entertained as I was last night by the Bulls' victory over the Heat?
I was not, no.
Okay, like, I'm not trying to build this up as anything spectacular. I was just, all I said was I was entertained by watching it.
They beat Miami. It was nice.
It was a good win.
People really took my Jimmy Butler tweet out of context, too. I was doing just a little trolling as Jimmy missed the layup. He missed. Kobe didn't even challenge him. He faked that he was going to try and block a shot.
It was a good move. It was a...
It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, so I just tweeted right after he missed the layup, we won the Jimmy trade. You know, and you got to read the responses to that simple tweet.
Well, you know that they're coming, right?
In every way, shape, or form from, yes, of course, you're right, because it was with Minnesota. And look, Minnesota has had to fire Tibbs. And then they've since traded Jimmy, who has also gone from Philly then to Miami. It wasn't with Miami. And we've got Zach now. And so there were lots of different takes on it.
A lot of noise. But you were inciting a noisy response.
All I was doing last night was having a little fun at the Jimmy Butler missed layup.
What you were doing was taking a break from subtweeting others about other things.
Right. I was subtweeting Bulls fans.
Okay.
With no particular side in mind. And everyone just disagreed with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to get a chance to watch the Bulls and Knicks Wednesday, tomorrow.
Well, you know who's hot, don't you? And the Knicks lost last night for the first time, but Derek is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Derek has been putting up some really good numbers. It should be fun. Is Derek an option for the Bulls next year? Isn't he a free agent? Would you want to, now that Derek's playing good basketball again and the Bulls needing a point guard, would you like Derek back here?
As your starter?
As your starting point guard.
No.
He's not like what they need, right?
He is in a great role off the bench doing what he's doing under a coach who understands how to utilize him.
Right. That's very vital for him.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be a starter in the league again.
Okay.
He's having a great year.
Yeah, and he's been some of the numbers in the last several days are like 20 points.
Good to see.
Every game.
Good to see.
He's also with Thibs, who knows exactly how to use him.
Did you make money?
He's also the Thibodeau is the point guard whisperer.
Oh yeah.
If there's a coach that gets the most,
DJ Watson, Nate Robinson, who was the other guy who had the really good year, then got paid. He was originally like a lottery pick point guard. It was the year after Nate, and then he came in for a full year and really played well as the Bulls' starting point guard.
DJ Augustine?
Yes.
Augustine.
DJ, because DJ Augustine originally wasn't a success.
Right.
when a lot of people thought he'd be successful, and then he got put in the Tibbs system, and the next thing you know, they're winning with DJ Augustin.
Thibodeau, man. Thibodeau.
He gets the most out of all their guys.
Did you make money on them?
I did not. No. I didn't play anything last night.
You know what Saturday is? Is the Kentucky Derby. We got to go back.
I know, for good weather. We were there for the worst weather day ever, and we still had a blast.
It was fantastic.
But I would like to be outside more and enjoying the weather. We drank and we drank and we drank.
Yeah,
but my wife and I were just watching some of the videos that were coming up in memories of us standing in our seats for the actual race in these ponchos and how it was just... It was downpour.
It was.
It was record-setting rains that day.
Essential Quality is your 2-1 favorite for the Derby. He'll be coming out of the number 14 post. Okay.
Is that a good spot? That's fairly good, right?
Look, I don't think you want to be way out. I mean, they have an auxiliary gate because there's so many horses. There's 20 horses in this race. Rock Your World is the 5-1 second choice from the number 15 slot. Known Agenda is third at 6-1, despite drawing the rail in the 20-horse field. Hot Rod Charlie is fourth. He'll come out of the number 9 post.
How's the horse feel about that?
I don't know. I think you'd
like
have
to
be
closer to the post,
I don't think you want to be in the middle.
I don't think
that's what the horses
rail,
prefer.
I don't think the rail is a place that a lot of people like.
I think Yurko said
horses.
The other day.
I'm asking the horse.
Whose old bit is it? One comedian didn't back in the day. Their whole bit was, "Do the horses know if they're racing?" Who came? I remember this was a
debate.
I could
see it.
Like,
I'm
do
sure
the horses? Do they know that they're in a race?
Yes,
they do.
Yes, this is what they're trained for. Yes,
I don't know. Is that what they said? They just want some hay. And get to the finish.
They want to know the reward if they run fast.
I think they're eating something probably a little better than hay.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah,
what do they get?
Some oats, some
oats,
carrots.
Carrots?
I don't know.
All right.
Listen, your attempt to trivialize the Kentucky Derby does not work with me. I'm still a fan. It's not for everybody.
I was asking questions.
Not
he's talking horse racing. He's talking horse racing the way we talk hockey.
Yes.
I could identify with that,
that's
Black.
What I said.
I didn't know Tom was a horseman.
He's not, actually. He's not a fan of horse race.
So he's totally trolling now?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Are you a fan of horse racing? Yes or no?
Are you a fan of horse racing? Do you like to go to
the track every now and then, drink a beer, and bet on some horses?
It's a really simple question. Are you a fan of horse racing?
No, I do not.
Okay, that's all I said.
Are you anti-horse racing?
No.
Okay, so like I'm not passing judgment.
No.
I'm just saying.
See, I'm not a horse race fan per se, but I enjoy going to Hawthorne or Arlington.
Yeah, that'd be cool. On a nice summer day.
Yeah. I was just asking if they have a preference.
I don't know. I think they're probably fairly logical questions.
No?
I think they're fairly smart.
For one who is not a horseman, I think that's something I would think about while I'm sitting there. Is that horse thinking about where he's at?
I thought I heard Yurko say the other day. Maybe it was yesterday.
I don't think that has any bearing on the outcome of
really?
A race.
Because when I ran cross country, I was
it does.
I don't like the starting spot. I'm too close to the edge.
Well, you said if they know that they're actually in a race.
I think Yurko said between 5 and 14 is usually the spots you want to be in.
Different conversation. I was just talking about the concept of whether or not.
If they feel comfortable.
Yeah. I think, you get somebody on your back and hitting you with, a whip. You kind of know you're in a...
If you pardon the expression.
Well, you're in some kind of a bind,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, you are. Like, something's going on.
Someone's on your back and hitting you with a whip.
And to be honest, you're trying to get out of that situation quickly, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Unless you paid for it.
If you get to the finish line first, maybe you... maybe you're in a better spot.
Can I get this guy off my back now?
How often do you go to the whip? Like, would you go, if you were a jockey, would you be someone who goes to the whip quickly, or do you trust the horse a little?
You're a horseman. You should have this answer.
I've never ridden a horse in my life.
Thank goodness. That's one of the smartest moves we've ever made in this radio station's history.
Just not to get on
I still remember this to this day. In the studio that Black and Abdallah are standing in right now, this where we sit, it used to be the producer's booth, where they are used to be the studio. During a break, while we were on 9 to noon, Justin Craig walked in one day and goes, "Hey, guys, we're going to be at Hawthorne in a couple of weeks. We're thinking about doing like a celebrity horse race. with you and Harry wants to ride the horse. Will you guys
ride a horse?
Yeah, he said and horse. We said, are these ponies, like little ponies? And he goes, no, these are our thoroughbreds. And
they're Waddle retired and I looked at
him, and we looked at him, and we said, no effing way.
Yeah, no.
And thank God we did, but Harry said yes, and Yurko said yes. And it's still one of the most memorable days of my, not my broadcasting life, of my life.
It was really funny for a while, and then it became scary.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm not saying for good. It was bad. Carmen and I went to visit Harry in the hospital. He had blood on the brain, and but still, it will go down. It is probably in the top 35 of my most memorable days of my life. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that day.
You guys would have been okay.
No.
Dude,
we're people. We're not jockeys. These are thoroughbreds.
But they're horses.
Wasn't Yurko on one?
Yes.
And Yurko was
320 pounds. A horse isn't going to throw him off.
Waddle was a thoroughbred athlete. I think he could balance on a horse.
I've never ridden a horse. So I was not interested in getting on a race.
Can I interest you guys in a camel race?
Have I ever what?
Whipped one?
No. No, I haven't.
On my honeymoon, we went horseback riding, and I when they started trotting, I was not comfortable with it. I felt a little uneasy. These are just farm horses. I'm not getting a thoroughbred.
How did it affect your marbles? Did you have to sit in a special way so that you didn't?
But I was sore for a day.
Yeah.
I was sore for a day after that.
Really? Was it from that, or was it from your honeymoon?
Back in the day.
Every day's a honeymoon.
You guys know in camel races they have robot jockeys, right?
No, really?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, they have robot jockeys and they have a little whip on them. I'm not kidding.
What do you mean? Like they have a fake person on the camel?
It's not even a full person. It looks like if you look up camel racing.
Am I going to get in trouble if I do this?
It looks like almost like a little doll.
Don't look on Urban Dictionary.
It's like a little doll on top of it, and it has a little arm thing that spins around, and that's the
whip. Why do they do it that way? Why don't they have a real rider?
Camels are super dangerous.
I see a camel racing here, a picture of it, and there are
some of them
human
do, but
jockeys.
If you look at now, they do mostly like the thoroughbred camels. The thoroughbred camels are mostly robot jockeys now.
Camels spit, right?
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I've ridden a camel
too.
Don't they bite?
Yeah, they're mean.
Yeah,
they're mean.
Have you taken a ride on a camel?
I've not.
I've ridden many.
I've smoked one, a cigarette,
a couple times.
I've done
they're
that
fun.
Too.
Yeah.
They're not camel fun.
Camel cigarettes are just not good.
I enjoyed
it
at the zoo when we went for a camel ride.
The getting up and getting down, because they go front first.
What with the kids?
They go front first, and you do like this whiplash thing, mm-hmm. and it's like, nah, bro.
You ever ridden an elephant?
Yes.
An elephant ride?
Yep.
I've not done that.
Yep.
Done the elephant ride.
It's kind of boring.
I've never gone on any of those rides.
You played football. See, we do.
No, I've never ridden an animal. That's the difference between professional athlete and losers.
We're at the carnival riding the circus.
Maybe
when I was
camels
a little kid,
and elephants, my, and you're Tommy over the middle,
right?
Maybe, catching passes with your Letterman jacket in high school.
Maybe my hillbilly parents put me like when I was one of those the little kid put a helmet on me, put me on one of those. Like those little lamb races? I don't remember.
Lamb race.
He was taking cornerbacks and safeties for a ride is what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Football guy.
All right. I don't have anything else.
That was fun.
Do you guys want Julio Jones at like $15 million and whatever you'd have to trade for him?
I have one Bears fan who DM'd me on Instagram with a crazy Atlanta Falcons Bears trade proposal. You want me to read this to you next?
Yes, okay. And I have a funny pickle story when we come back.
All right.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I love when our listeners call in and make us smarter.
Yeah. They hear a discussion, and then a lot of times they have, like, sort of skin in the game with this, where they can tell us. And is it Joel or Joel, Abdallah? Is it Joel? Who's on the line? Who is a jockey?
How many Joels do you know?
Embiid.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one.
Okay.
Well, no, Joel Rosario. It's not Joel Rosario. One of the best jockeys in the world is Joel Rosario.
Okay. How many?
I'm just. I will ask the question again.
You personally, how many Joels do you know?
Personally, I'm not none.
The answer's none. Sylvie, the answer's none. It's Joel.
Joel, calling us from Arlington Park, says he's a jockey. Did we say your name right, Joel or Joel?
It's Joel. I'm as white as they come. Joel Rosario is probably one of the top riders in the country, though, right. So you didn't nail that.
It's Joel, it's right? Isn't it Joel Rosario?
No, it's Joel. Yeah, that's Joel Rosario. Yeah, but this is Joel Campbell. But
Joel Campbell.
I was a rider. I started training about 2 years ago. But your conversation kind of made me laugh.
Joel, are we gonna have a meet at Arlington this spring or this summer? Okay, good.
I just shipped in the horses this morning, and I think we're filling up the backside pretty good, quite frankly.
Okay, so, excellent.
Yeah, we'll make it through this meet, but after that, it's going to get a little ugly.
How's your brother Jesse doing?
So that is my brother. Yep, he actually just retired last year from Woodbine. We're, you know, a good rider up there, obviously top rider.
That's in Canada,
up there.
Right? Woodbine's in Canada?
That is Canada. Nailed it. Yep.
Google works well.
I didn't need Google for that. So tell us about pole position. The guys were asking whether or not you want to be. Where do you want to be for the Kentucky Derby?
So I tell you what, Yurko was right. You really want to be from the 5 to about the 15. Because quite frankly, any other race, you'd want the inside. Especially going long, you'd take advantage of the rail. Going short, you might like the outside. So a sprint race, you might like the outside. And you can dictate where the speed's going to go and where you want to position your horse. But in a race like the Derby, as you know, in America, we don't run 20-horse fields. So when you're in the rail like that, you got 15, 18 horses coming completely over on you. Because quite frankly, the first turn rules kind of go off the board in that race. Mm-hmm. So the Derby's got 20 head. It gets a little ugly in that first turn. So you really want to draw those middle rail positions, and that's why you guys are making me laugh on that.
Okay.
But the horse, to answer another question, the horse definitely knows when it's race time.
Okay, good. That's what I was going to say, Joel. I was going to say the two jackasses that are trying to make fun
race
of us.
Race time or where his pole position is?
No, Joel, Chris Black wants to know whether or not the horse knows he's in a race.
Yes, absolutely.
Does the horse know whether or not it's won or lost?
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely tell their mannerisms after a race, how they react to things. Absolutely.
You know how your dog responds to certain things. Why wouldn't you think that a horse would respond to certain things? Different conversation. I didn't say your dog was racy. I said you know when your dog responds to certain things. Right, Joel? A horse knows exactly what he's doing.
Does 100%. The horse have a preference on where they are positioned at the start?
Some may.
I wouldn't say so much position at the start, but definitely inside a race for sure. There's some horses don't like the rail, want to get to the outside. There's definitely some positioning involved, and every horse is a little
A horse can be claustrophobic, am I correct?
Absolutely, especially young horses on the fence. They don't like being down there, consider stuck in the wood or a horse really inside of them or outside of them. They definitely have some reactions to
can
that.
Can horses have beef with other horses?
I've only seen it a couple times. You can look up some pictures. You'll see a horse going down the lane, biting at another horse.
What's that called? Is it called, there's a term for that.
I don't have a term
for
that.
No, there is. There is a term. I swear. I mean, what is it?
He's the jockey, not you.
Is it called savaging or something like that?
Not in my world. Okay. I don't know that one, but I'm sure there might be a term for that.
Joel.
But I've only seen it a couple times.
I don't know if you heard our debate, too. Like, one day we were asked to ride a retired thoroughbreds, and we said no. And Abdallah said we would have been, quote, fine. You as a professional rider, as a jockey, your brother has won so many races. What would you advise a layman if approached and they said, hey, do you want to ride a thoroughbred? What would you tell that person?
Don't ever think about it. Yeah. That's a professional game. I don't want to go over the middle like Waddle, and you shouldn't want to get on top of that animal. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
when
a horse bites another horse, it's called the horse savages another horse.
Oh, look at that.
That's a new term I'm going to have to use. All right.
Go. Very good.
I will tell you this. I'm the Jockeys Guild Board of Directors. I'm the treasurer still. And we average about 2 deaths a year. So I wouldn't recommend anyone that didn't know what they were doing get on top of
it. Oh, my God. It is a ridiculously dangerous job. I mean, it is. And how strong all the riders are is unbelievable. Pound for pound, some of the strongest athletes in the world. Am I right, Joel?
Well, I'd appreciate that. Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. Yes, absolutely.
I love this, Joel. Thanks for calling and listening. Yeah. We appreciate it.
You guys are just making me laugh. I'm a P1. If you, I know you
Oh, look at that. Joel Campbell. All right.
I go back and forth to Hawthorne every day from Palatine to Hawthorne, so I got to listen to something. You guys make me laugh every day, so
all right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joel. We appreciate you.
You need more horse knowledge. Come my way, because you guys made me laugh.
You got so. It. Let's get his number for Joel if we ever have horse racing.
Chris, your questions were answered.
Yes.
How great is that?
And I appreciate it, because that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to find out whether or not the horse has a preference.
What did I say before Joel came on? I always love when our callers call in and make us smarter.
Yes. Yes, guys who know what we're talking about. All right, and speaking of that, you want a knowledgeable guy. Len Casper is going to join us in 2 minutes, not only with an update on Luis Robert, but we're going to talk some rules and changes and stuff like that. It's up in two.